In our first season, we covered a story about a funeral home that was found to have dozens of bodies laying about in various stages of decomposition. So, aka not preserved, not cremated. Well, believe it or not, the bodies keep piling up. We're headed back to Colorado to see a new case where the bodies are hitting the floor.
What is it? It's like, let the bodies hit the floor.
Welcome to Plot Twist.
Morgan, and I have a wool yarn addiction.
I'm Janelle, and I thought that peacocks were indigenous to the state of Ohio until I was in college. This is Plot Twist, A Grave Affair. We'll be talking about everything that happens at the funeral home and beyond.
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
I did too. It just came to me one day, and I was like, oh my god, I'm writing that down in my notes app.
Man.
To be fair, my neighbors had them, and they always got loose.
That's so weird. So you would just see the peacock running through your backyard?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, not like all the time, but multiple times a year. So I was like, they live here.
I would probably think the same thing, to be fair. I think it's hilarious.
In our first season, I think it was episode 8... I just looked this up today, and I already forgot again. We talked about...
I did the same thing. I don't remember.
That makes me feel better, though. We talked about... We did an episode on two different cases where the funeral home and the crematorium, you know, didn't properly bury... I was going to say dispose of, but bury or cremate the dead. So there was the Tri-State Crematory in Georgia back in 2002... So there were 339 bodies found at this crematoria. Basically, long story short, this guy was working there pretty much by himself. It was on a large property that people didn't really go near because it was kind of in the middle of nowhere. And he just left people lying in the yard and every... I don't even know how you have enough room for 339 bodies, but...
From the description, they were just strewn about the property.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I'm still not over it. We talked about it so much and I'm still...
And I even listened to like other podcast episodes about that same case. I don't know. It's fascinating.
And then the other one we covered in that case was pretty recent in 2022 at Lankford Funeral Home in Indiana. What's his name? Randy Lankford, the funeral director, had, he said, gotten... behind was basically his thing, yeah. And the AC went out.
The AC went out, and he just kind of got behind on, you know, embalming and burying and cremating bodies. So, what can you do about right. The AC?
So then there's
nobody to call about that. No one can come in and fix that.
Yeah, how would you go about fixing an AC? It's just broken forever.
It's just broken. You just have to deal with the heat.
Yeah. So all 31 bodies were found decomposing in the heat at his funeral home. So you hear these cases and you're like, this is extreme. And these two cases are 20 years apart. So you're like, okay, this can't happen that frequently.
Wrong. It happens a lot.
Unfortunately, we have another case just this year, just this October.
Yes, very recent.
So here we go. We are going to Colorado for this. So we're going to Penrose, Colorado for this one. And the funeral home is called Return to Nature Funeral Home. It is a green burial.
It sounds so nice.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds so nice.
They offered both burials and cremation. They partnered with another like... crematory to do the cremations. They opened in 2017 and
So pretty recently, like relatively, yeah. Like they have not been around that long.
No, not really in the grand, you know, scheme of things. But they were pretty trusted in the community. People knew the owner, John Halford, and the funeral home became pretty trusted pretty quickly. But this past October, 2023, somebody reported, multiple somebodies reported a, quote, abhorrent smell.
This is always mm-hmm. how these stories start.
Yeah, it's always the smell.
It's always a scent, a mysterious scent coming from over yonder.
Yeah, and it had lasted for weeks. I guess at first they thought it was like a dead animal, but...
Oh, no.
I feel like at that point I would just be in denial because, you know, if I live next door to a funeral home and it smelled like decaying bodies, I wouldn't want to, like, come to grips with the fact that those are probably human bodies.
I feel, roadkill, something else. I would never think bodies.
No,
off the bat.
Even if I live next door to a funeral home.
No, you would never think.
No, you're like, they've taken care of that shit. Like,
there's no way.
Right. Way. Investigators came into the home and they found 190 improperly stored corpses. Basically, just stacked on top of each other. It's going to get a little gross here, so close your ears if you don't want to hear it. There were body juices collecting on the floor naturally.
I literally have a full body chill.
It's, yeah. And some of them weren't even in body bags. But there were some in body bags, which was helpful because they were able to identify the dates that these people were when they died.
Right. They probably tagged the bags.
Yeah, exactly. And the oldest one dated back to 2019. So that's just...
My eyes twitching.
I know. I can't even imagine what that body must have looked like.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man.
Yeah. The program director of the Office of Funeral Home and Crematory Registration called Halford shortly before the investigators came to the property because they were like, we're getting complaints. What the fuck's going on? And he's like, oh, he had a, quote, problem at the property, unspecified problem. And he said that he had been using the building to learn how to do taxidermy, and that explained the smell.
And the guy was like, okay, that makes sense. Thanks for letting us know.
Like, what kind of excuse is that? Like, I'm using my funeral home building to practice taxidermy. That's, like, not a good look, period.
No.
So if that's your best case scenario that you could come up with, not great.
Did he specify whether it was on the humans or the animals?
I don't think he did. Who knows? Maybe he was practicing taxidermy. Honestly, it's possible.
Honestly, I would believe that over taxidermy animals this guy, honestly.
It's all just too weird.
It's so weird.
So the program director was basically like, okay, yeah, this is, I don't have a good answer of what's going on. So that's when they came into the funeral home, found all this stuff going on. So since this is still an ongoing case, there's not a whole lot of information about the scene itself, which is what I really wanted to know. But, you know, they have to protect the investigation and everything. So I did watch the press conference, and they said that they were going to, obviously, as things become safer to do so, they're going to let out more information about the crime scene. But they said that, I can't remember the words they used, but it was something along the lines of, it is just absolutely horrific. Like, you can't even imagine how bad it is. So now I don't know if I want to know.
Okay, I'm putting my vote in right now. Or my bet. I bet that he was doing human taxidermy.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't even think about that. But when you said that, it immediately clicked in my brain that I remember they said that. So it's
why
possible.
Was he saving all these bodies? Maybe he was saving them in his mind, thinking like, these are my specimen for taxidermy. I'm going to have a whole human taxidermy thing going on.
I mean, maybe that's how he preserved that body from 2019.
Right, there's no information about that right now.
I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
So it'll be really interesting to see like what they found at the crime scene. So the crime scene was so bad that a paramedic helping to retrieve bodies developed a rash and had to be medically evaluated.
A rash because it, like hives?
No, like some kind of like contact rash. I know. I'm like, I can't even begin to think what would be causing that, but I don't even want to think about
it. Worms. I don't know. That's what I go to my worst nightmare.
You hate worms.
I hate worms.
Any bodily worms. This whole crime scene was so bad, and probably also in reaction to this paramedic developing a whole rash.
Oh, he better sue. I hope he sue. Can he sue?
I don't know.
He probably signed something when you become a paramedic, but I would try to sue anyway.
Yeah, I would do what I listen. But the governor enacted a disaster declaration to speed up the cleanup process, identifying the bodies, everything like that. So they brought in the FBI mass casualty specialists, as well as just like investigators from the FBI, the National Guard Disaster and Casualty Recovery Unit, and the EPA disaster team.
And there's only, how many bodies are there?
190.
I mean, that's a lot. But that's a lot of people to employ to do this.
Yeah. They...
It kind of seems a little bit excessive. Not to downplay the whole event, but, that's a lot.
It is. But they have been, cranking it out. I think they had... It didn't take them long to clean up the whole place, like you would think. They had to clean up in a few days. In a month, they identified 110 of the 190 bodies, which is pretty impressive considering you have to go through the whole entire process of fingerprinting, dental work, other identifiers.
Depending on what's left.
Right, yeah, exactly. So also props to this county coroner who's been doing this because that's a lot of work.
Gosh, I would not. I'd be like, I need a raise.
Yeah.
I need a raise before I walk in there.
Right. And that's on top of all the other bodies. And so then on top of that, as they're trying to identify these bodies, then someone has to reach out to the families. So then all of these other organizations are also doing that.
I wonder if some families reached out when they heard the news to the funeral home itself.
Well, that's actually interesting because the investigators, FBI, everything are asking families who have had family members cremated there to reach out to the FBI. They have a form online that you can fill out if you suspect that your loved one may not have received their remains. Because beginning of November, they had identified 110 of the 190 bodies. So there may be more identified now. I wasn't able to find it. But now they're kind of getting to that point where they're having a harder time identifying stuff by dental records, things like that. Like they're coming up blank. They're too far decomposed, things like that.
I'm just saying it now. Oh. I think that creepo is doing taxidermy with these bodies.
I think he's just a bad liar. I think he was just trying to think of an excuse. He's like, I'm doing taxidermy.
Or he's like, this is so heinous. No one's ever going to actually believe that this is what I'm doing, so that I won't be caught in a lie. I'll be telling the truth.
That's true. That's a good point because it does sound insane. Because it is heinous. But yeah, the law in Colorado, green burials are legal, but the law is that bodies have to be refrigerated within 24 hours of their passing, or cremated, or buried, whatever. But most likely, they're going to be refrigerated. And none of these bodies, the 190 bodies, were refrigerated. They're just sitting out there stewing in
the I know heat. We don't know a lot about this case yet as far as details go, but it'd be interesting to know if they do have a refrigeration system and if that room was just completely empty and the bodies were like every in every other room but that one.
That's a good question. Like, I wonder if they had other bodies other than the 190 that they found that were in the refrigerator, or like what the situation with that is. Like, if were there properly preserved bodies? Do we have a
picture of what this funeral home looks like?
No, just like the outside. It's like super.
Is it big on the outside?
It's like average. It's not super big.
Because most funeral homes are pretty small.
It's like medium size. Okay. It's not like a super small one.
Is it like one of the houses? You know how? Okay. No. It's like. We have a lot of those around here.
We get a lot of those around here, yeah. But no, it's like a one story. But it's really hard to say because all the pictures that they have, it's like from a corner of it. So there's not a lot of.
I'm so interested.
Yeah. I cannot wait to see what comes out of this case because it's so interesting. So after this discovery, investigators started looking into John Halford, who's the owner of the funeral home, and his wife. Sheila. Is it Sheila?
Oh, God.
Did I make her name up?
Sheila sounds right.
Oh, Carrie. It's Carrie.
Carrie.
There is a Sheila. Okay.
Okay.
So the owner of the funeral home, John Halford, and his wife, Carrie, were looked into by investigators. What they found out was that things were not going well at Return to Nature.
Financial struggles.
You could say that. The crematory. Okay, so earlier I talked about how they've been partnering with a crematory to do their cremations. They partnered with them until 2022, but then they didn't pay their bills, and the crematory was suing them for the bills that they had that had not been paid. Also, their funeral home license had expired in November 2022. And now this is October of 2023, almost a year ago. Nobody came to look into it. The license expired. Nobody followed up. So they've just been practicing without a funeral license for 11 months.
Sounds like Colorado to me.
Yeah, it really does. And John Halford had missing tax payments. And because of this, they had an office building offsite for the funeral home. And he lost that to the bank because of his taxes.
Okay, so this does sound like this is kind of a bigger funeral home, though. If they have an office offsite, did have an office offsite.
They had two locations, actually. And one is still open.
Huh? Oh, that needed to be shut down.
I know.
No.
I know. I can't believe it's still open.
Did they investigate that one too?
And they said it was nothing. But again, they're being super tight-lipped about it. So I don't know how much.
I still, as a family member, I'd be like, no, we're going somewhere else. Transferred somewhere else.
Right. I don't know how much of that. I don't know if he owned both, though. Because I'm starting to think maybe he did not because.
Oh, maybe he sold it off?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. If he wasn't sole owner of both, I don't know. But I was like, this is suspicious.
Change the name real fast if somebody else owns
it. I know, because I Googled it and I was like, what the fuck? This is still open, but it's not.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, was not great. As soon as this all came out, as soon as investigators looked into this and found 190 bodies, the Office of Funeral Home and Crematory Registration ordered a cease and desist, immediately after that. Immediately.
I just think it's really interesting because I think it's 2022 is when the, state of Colorado passed a law that funeral homes have to be regularly inspected. So it's interesting that they were not inspected in that time frame where they didn't have their business license.
Right.
Because that would have been within the time frame of them actually pushing that out and going to investigate.
Right, because the law went into effect beginning of 2023.
Right.
And I think they still have, they have to have like some kind of complaint or reason to go into the funeral home to inspect. But I would think that not having your funeral license would be a reason to suspect.
Yeah. I think, don't hold me to it, I can look later. I don't think I wrote it down, but when I was reading articles, I think it said so far they've only visited 13.
Shut up.
In the state. I'll double check, but I'm pretty certain I read somewhere. It was like a very, very low number. Like, I'm pretty sure it said 13.
So a very slow start to this new law.
Yeah.
Oof. Okay, then.
Colorado's a big state.
Yeah. They have more than 13 funeral homes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They probably have 13 in one county. Yeah. So.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah. I looked online. I found a list on the Colorado, I don't know, Bureau of something something, where it was a list of all the funeral homes and crematories in Colorado, their, like, their license status, their violations, things like that. So I found it online. I found them. And it did say their license had expired in 2022. There are no violations listed.
They don't update that site very much, do they?
No. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, this is the biggest... this is the biggest scandal in Colorado since a few months ago.
That... Okay, yeah. So nobody's manning that website.
No. Yeah, it's... Yeah, so it's, oh, it's my gosh, very shambly. Very shambly. After all, they have all this evidence. They're ready to go arrest John and Carrie.
Arrest them!
Arrest them. But they are no longer in the state of Colorado.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah. So they were arrested in Oklahoma beginning of November. Far. No, they really didn't. But they tried. They were arrested on charges for abuse of a corpse, theft, forgery, and money laundering.
That's a lot.
180.
Not running from the law, though?
No. I don't know. They were not. Because I don't think they didn't really have a warrant out for their arrest until after they had already left.
Okay. Well, they left for a reason.
They left for a reason. But I think legally they don't have any way to pursue that. But they have enough. I mean, there's 190 accounts of abuse of a corpse for each of them. So I think that's
they're going to jail.
Fine. Yeah. So, yeah. So this is kind of similar to the other cases we talked about in the first episode, or that the episode in season one, where all these bodies are not being returned to families, but families are still getting cremains. This is a very similar situation.
This happens almost in any or every like funeral home scandal that we've looked into, researched, or done a podcast about. This. Why is this happening all the time? Why? Like, why?
I feel like it's so much more likely to happen with a cremation because it's really hard to hide a whole body if you're going to be burying someone. You know, you can't be like, oh, you can't look in the casket, sorry. But with cremains, I mean, you don't know who you're getting.
I know.
You don't know even if it's
you don't know human what you're ash, getting.
Human cremains or whatever. Yeah. So everybody
should be,
was
like allowed to ask for proof.
I know. I feel like it needs to come with proof.
Yeah.
Nobody had any suspicion prior to this because so we're talking about the Langford case where 31 bodies were found in Indiana at the funeral home. There were already people on his case, even, you know, kind of when he started getting behind, asking for where are my family's ashes? You know, so they were already getting behind and wondering where they were. There was no suspicion here. John was just, like, giving people ashes or who knows what he was giving them.
I think before one other case, it was crushed up concrete. So I wonder if it's something of a similar, or maybe the Or maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. They're pretty similar.
They kind of are, yeah.
So one of the bodies found on the property belonged to Morella Canfield Jones. Her parents are Sheila and Gary.
Oh, that's our Sheila and Gary.
So they received, you know, what they believe to be her remains from the Return to Nature funeral home. They put it in a hand-blown glass bulb that had, like, the word love illuminated in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had that since 2019. Thinking this was her ashes, treating as if this was their daughter.
Right.
And they got a call in October finding out that that was not her. So they were able to get her actual ashes and put those in the globe. But I don't think that the majority of families have received their loved ones' remains yet.
So I'm wondering if she was one of the bodies and had to be then cremated. Or if there was just a random jar and they're like, yeah, that's her.
She was one of the bodies. Okay. Yeah. I wonder if since she died in 2019, I wonder if they're kind of starting cremating some of these older bodies that are in more shape, you know, and starting there. And that's why they got their... I know. They're planning a second memorial ceremony, which just, like, oh, my heart. And her mom said it was like she was coming home when she got her ashes for real this time.
Aww.
And that's so sad.
That's so, like, it's very sweet in a way, what she said, but also, oh my God.
Yeah. So something really, really nice, there's a local organization, Voices of Grief, and they are actually offering free and reduced cost services to the victims' families. And Kathy Sparnins, the executive director of the center, said, I really like this quote because it really kind of explains, like, in these cases, what these families are going through. She said, to say this is complicated grief is kind of an understatement. It's two levels of grief. And she kind of went on to say, you know, there's the initial grief. You pull off the scab of the wound, you know, and then dig deeper into that wound. And
yeah. It's the grief of reliving that person's death again. And then the grief of knowing what happened to their bodies.
Yeah.
Afterwards. That's just so terrible. So Voices of Grief, is that like a group that talks together? Like, what exactly is Voices of Grief?
So it is like a...
Is it like AA for center?
It's more, yeah, it's more like a community. I don't like really think it's like therapy or things like that. It's a community where people, you know, just come and talk. They had people there. I don't think they're employees, but people who can be like a listening ear, help them process their grief. I don't think it's, like I said, anything formal like therapy, but.
But you have to pay for it?
Yeah.
And she's not giving it. I'm sorry. That seems like a ploy right there a little bit.
I'm going to be honest. I did find that strange when I was watching this news clip. And I'm like, so they showed her business card. And I was like writing down the quote. And I was trying to like write down her name. And I'm like, what are her credentials?
Yeah, I mean, this sounds great, but what are you paying for? Like, this sounds like something, like a community center that should be, like, free to the community. Yeah. Or, like, funded by other people, you know, volunteer basis. Like, right. There's not real therapists there. There's not, I don't know. I'm like, at a reduced cost.
Like, what are you paying?
Yeah, what are you paying for?
Her executive director doesn't even have any license, so.
Colorado! Nobody has to have a license for anything. And this is exactly why I want to move to Colorado. I could start a new life for myself. I could be anyone I want.
They don't give a shit about anyone's credentials or anything. Yeah,
exactly.
Huh. Anyway. So what's even more interesting is that we recently covered another case from Colorado. Actually, we did a couple episodes in Colorado. We did one about different death practices in Colorado. Mm-hmm. The only, in Crestone, Colorado, there's the only legal open air pyre in the United States. And there's also, we talked about the Frozen Dead Guy Days.
Yes, Frozen Dead Guy Days.
This is a really fun, cool festival. But if you want to talk a little bit about the other body scandal episode we talked about.
Yes, let me turn to the right page. Please don't put that in there. So Colorado does come up a lot. We did a past episode really not that long ago. Actually, it was kind of a while ago that we put that episode out. Was it last November? I think it was last November. But it was on the Sunset Mesa Funeral Home where Megan Hess and her mother, Shirley Cooch. They were stealing body parts that families were expecting back.
So not donated body parts.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, some were, but most of them were being expected to be put in the ground or come home in some way, shape, or form. Shirley, the mother, would categorize these bodies for donation without consent of the families. There were even some cases where, when interviewing the families, they said that they did try to push that and they rejected that. You know, they didn't want their families to be part of the body donation. Or some, if they did, like if they were okay with their family members being donated, it, you know, you can check boxes for what you would allow. Some people, it would just be like skin, not organs. So, but they took everything anyway. So they're doing this all, or they did this all without any kind of consent from the families or the donors themselves. They would also, as we see a lot, deliver cremains to families that were not their loved one. Often they weren't anyone at all. They were just some kind of ash, but not human. And then on top of all of this, they were selling these bodies to body brokers on the black market.
And this, and they were just sentenced in January of 2023. Mm-hmm. So this is a pretty recent, I mean, this is pretty recently talked about case.
Yeah.
And they're the ones who brought about that legislation that allows funeral homes to be inspected now.
Well, they're not doing a good job of that, but yes. It did bring that up. They've only inspected, I think, 13, so got a ways to go.
That's, yeah, like one a month.
It was a soft opening. I don't know.
It's just practice. It's like when you play a game for the first time, you're like, let's just do one round for practice. Mm-hmm. That's 2023 for Colorado.
Yes. So a lot of similarities to this case that is going on right now.
So Morgan, what is going on in Colorado? Why is it like this?
Well, I'm glad you asked me. So Colorado is like this because right now funeral homes and crematoriums are not required to have a routine state inspection. So routine being different than these inspections that they started doing last year, because they're not routine. Like you said, it's if it's upon a complaint. It's not like a routine, you know, they're coming annual inspection.
But before that, you had to have permission from the funeral home to do an inspection, right?
Yes.
Which, like, if there's something funky going on. So I guess
they could knock on the door and be like, hey, we want to inspect your funeral home. And they could be like, no.
No, I have taxidermy in there.
I know, I'm like, this is so crazy. But yeah, they didn't have to let anybody in. Which is so weird. I don't know what's going on in Colorado. So that's just one aspect of this whole big thing going on in Colorado. They got to get themselves fixed. Because this is the only state that, you know, all states are having these issues, but not, yeah, at least they have laws in place. They are also the only state that do not license funeral directors or embalmers. Let me repeat that. They are the only state that do not license funeral directors or embalmers. Sit with that. They don't have to have any education. no certifications, not just a license. You don't have to be educated and you don't have to be certified to embalm or be a director. Huh? Like, that's crazy. I don't understand how that has slid by for so long. I knew that you didn't have to be a licensed funeral home director before researching this, but I didn't realize you didn't have to have any kind of certification to embalm. Like, how are you learning how to do this?
It's crazy. This, I mean, and this isn't like it could be an on-the-job training thing, but it's not something that I trust to be an on-the-job training process. This isn't right. Making a sub sandwich. This isn't, you know.
Right. But also, if it's on-the-job training, I totally get that. But who trained the last person who's mm-hmm. now training you? Who right. trained the person before? Did anyone actually have any formal education? Embalmings can be dangerous. There's chemicals involved. Mm-hmm. You want to do it right so that the body looks good for the families if they're having a viewing. So this, I have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So really the only license that's required is the funeral home license. So basically just a license to run a business.
Okay.
And that's it. So.
Well, apparently not even that, because the Return of Nature Funeral Home operated without a license for a year. So.
Right. And nobody updated the website. So. Nobody's inspecting you, so why would you need to get it renewed?
It's a fucking free-for-all out there.
I have a lot of thoughts on this, and quite frankly, it's overwhelming.
Yeah, like, where do you even begin?
I was watching one interview on one of the news networks in Colorado where they were interviewing it was Mitch Hendry, the funeral home manager in that state. He did have a formal education. I guess he's not licensed in Colorado because you can't be. So he must have gotten.
I think you can get a funeral home license.
Well, like director license.
Oh.
They don't even license funeral directors there. So like here you can go to school mm-hmm. for 2 years to become a funeral director, and then you would need to get licensed in this state. So they don't
have the education, but not the yes. license.
I believe he had a license in a different state, but mm-hmm. obviously wouldn't apply. So there are a lot of good funeral home directors who do have an education, but you don't need it, and it pays really well. Like, if you open up your own funeral home, so a lot of people are going to do it without the education. But yeah, he was being interviewed and it kind of brought back what you were saying. He explained that there are 1 of 5 things that you need to do within 24 hours of a person's death. And that was embalming, refrigerating, cremating, or burying. Or being donated to science. Some of these things I think are kind of crazy for them to expect you to do within 24 hours. Nobody's getting buried in 24 hours. So like you said, it'd be the refrigerating thing. Yeah, it'd be
for the most people.
But the refrigerating thing seems to be, not just in Colorado, but overall, most any cases that come up with funeral homes, it comes down to the refrigeration aspect.
Yeah, that's usually the excuse. Or
lack thereof.
Yeah. The refrigerator's not working, I don't have enough space, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's too hot out, the AC is not working. So, yeah. I was watching a TikTok by Lauren, the mortician. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about this case and, like, how crazy, like, she was the one who was, like, the wild, wild west Colorado. And I was like, ooh, I like that. But something she mentioned was that allegedly, I don't have any proof of this, a lot of people who have lost their license in other states will move to Colorado to continue to practice.
You know, after I read that, I was looking more into some other articles, and she's not the only person who says that. There are other professionals who are, like, saying that this is a thing.
I was trying to find it, today I was researching to see if I could even find somebody. I couldn't find anyone. I'm sure maybe, like, they probably, like, ride pretty low under the radar.
Yeah.
Maybe they changed their name or something because I couldn't find anything. But that makes sense.
I feel like it's kind of like a, oh, I know a guy. Yeah, that guy over there. I know he got into some trouble over there and then in Texas and now he's here.
Yeah.
And some, a group of funeral directors, funeral employees or whatever, in Colorado had wanted to push for licensing requirements for funeral directors, embalmers, everything like that. And they had said, they're like, listen, there are people that are coming here because they've lost their license in other states, but they weren't able to substantiate that claim enough that legislation would be, the legislators would take that seriously.
I mean, even if they don't want to license people per se, at least having a certification, just a basic sort of, I mean, you can get, like, here you can get an embalming license or certification in, like, a 2-weekend course.
That's it?
Yeah, I've seen some where it's like full weekends, but just for the embalming, that's it. Just be an embalmer, not funeral director, like nothing past just.
I thought it would be like a huge
thing. I saw one for like, yeah, it's doesn't seem like it's that difficult or like time consuming to get that license.
At so least it's not that much I've of seen. A barrier to get it done. Right.
I'm sure. Well, because a lot of people who are getting their embalming license are probably also going through all the schooling to become a funeral director in most states anyway. Or, like, if you want to be a crematory operator, I don't know if they have to be licensed in Colorado. Probably not. Here, you have to have at least a certification. Just something.
Right.
Saying you were formally taught, so, oh, if you fuck up, like, we told you what to do.
Right.
Liability reasons. Like, I can't imagine, I mean, maybe if you had a degree in business, that would probably really, really help you. But as far as, like, working with grieving families, understanding death and dying, decomposition, all of the policies that go along with it.
Yeah.
Joe Schmo is going to be in there, like, messing with your mom.
Right. And that's probably how stuff like this happens. People get behind because they don't understand how to manage a funeral home and all the things that go into it and all of the steps that you need to take to keep it running smoothly and preserve a body. So I was looking into this a little bit and I saw that Colorado did require licensing for funeral directors, embalmers, crematory operators until 1983 when they repealed that.
Why?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, I haven't found a really good reason for it because I had just been under the assumption that they had never enacted it in the first place.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But yeah, I haven't been able to find a good reason. Like, I can't remember what article it was. I have it in my references, but I guess the legislators were like, well, you're not doing any of the oversight to the Colorado Funeral Board or whatever. They were like, you're not doing any of the oversight we're asking you to do. And they're like, well, we have a $2,000 a year budget. So they're like, well, you're not doing it anyway. So we're going to take away the licensing requirement. And then I guess also a lot of funeral home operators, especially of larger funeral homes or corporations or things like that, supported this. Because then they're like, well, I can hire people at half price because they don't have, not literally half price, you know what I mean? Like, they don't have an education. I don't have to pay them as much. So they just pull, you know, Richard Stink from Burger King.
Oh, my God.
And they're like, oh, we'll teach you how to embalm. So, yeah, I just, like, can't really figure out exactly why.
That's almost worse that they used to have some sort of requirement and now they don't.
That's exactly it. That's what shocked me.
I was thinking maybe it's because they didn't have enough people who wanted to work in the industry. Didn't want to pay for the education to do so. Maybe there was like a shortage of people to hire from, but that's not what it sounds like.
No. Yeah, it seems really shady. There might be some reasons that I don't understand or wasn't able to find. Hmm. But, like, with everything, I could not find a good reason for them to drop the licensing requirement. So do you think, considering that there are so many other cases of, like, corpse neglect or funeral home scandals in other states, do you think that a licensing requirement for funeral directors in Colorado would bring down their instances of these scandals?
No. I don't think it would, but it couldn't hurt.
That was exactly my thought, because
I still think that they should have some kind of certification. But I mean, if people are going to be this crazy, it's not going to matter.
Right. That's the argument I keep hearing about this. But like you said, why not? If it can make people a little bit more educated and capable at their jobs, there's no reason not to
do it. Require that. I think I just don't know how they would roll it out, because that could put a lot of people out of a job.
Or they could be grandfathered in, which creates a lot of its own problems.
Yeah. So I think maybe that's the issue that they're, if they're looking at doing this, that's probably the issue that they're facing.
Well, I wonder if they could do something like,
or like test out.
Yeah. Test out would be smart. Or like in nursing, when a lot of jobs are requiring BSNs now, a bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. And people are coming in with their associate's degree as just a registered nurse. Not just, but like without the bachelor's degree. And they're allowing nurses to continue their education while they're working. Mm-hmm. So that they could have their BSN at a certain time. And I'm like, maybe this could be something they could do. Because like hospitals usually help pay for this. And if there may be some state program that could help people pay, could help who are already pay in. For
it. Or, you know, if they're doing their own licensing, maybe it won't be a two-year program in Colorado. Maybe it'll be, because I know in Ohio, they're usually around 16 months to 2 years. Mm-hmm. But they're, I mean, they can do what they will.
Right.
It could be a 12-month program. It could be a 5-month program. I don't know. Just something.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of options. It doesn't have to be,
for them to be able to pay for it, like you said, what they did with the RNs. Mm-hmm. The RN to BSN thing. That makes sense. And then it'll weed out the lazy people.
Right.
Get rid of them.
Yeah, it's just, there's a lot of options that Colorado could take. It's like not, it just feels to me not a good enough excuse. No, there's no excuse that feels good enough to not require licensing. You know what I mean? There's ways to work around everything.
Yeah. And it's a state to state thing. So they can make it however they want it to be. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be, I don't know, maybe one state, maybe California, it's really hard. Make Colorado easy. ABC.
Right.
Multiple choice. I don't know. Actually, maybe that would be bad, but something that proves people know the laws, regulations, how to embalm. Right. That one is the one that gets me the most.
Yeah, that's what gets me the most, too. I just wonder if this guy had been licensed, maybe. I know that this stuff happens anyway, but I just wonder if maybe he did get behind because he didn't know how to manage the whole process.
There's no way. Were they living there?
They weren't living there.
Did anybody investigate their home?
That's a good question.
Because if he's actually taxidermying these people, he's probably bringing them home.
Oh, God.
I hope somebody went to look.
I'm sure they did. I cannot wait to see when these details come out of the case. God.
Oh, I'm ready.
I know. So we'll be back with updates. But shit. I do appreciate about death culture in Colorado that they're so embracing of alternative burials, like, you know, the funeral pyre, you know, green burials, things mm-hmm. like that. So I think that's the cool thing about their death culture. But I think also you can have stricter requirements and keep people safe and embrace different types of ways to put people to rest.
Amen.
Amen. That one kind of wore me out.
I know.
It was a good one, though.
Although, best believe if I move to Colorado, I'm going to go find me a job in a funeral home.
Oh, yeah. And I'm getting burned at the funeral pyre because I know they're not going to be fucking around with that.
See, we need more pyres.
Yeah. That is a great way to circumvent all of this. Just get burned in the funeral pyre. Everyone's watching. Your body's not going to end up laying around decomposing for 5 years somewhere.
It's right there. It says Sheila and Gary.
Gary?
Maybe you made these names up? Oh no,
that's the other person.
Her
okay.
Parents.
Okay. Gary. That's the wrong person. Okay. What was her name?
Morel?
Did I forget to write her name down?
I'm looking. I'm just like looking for names.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please rate and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at official_plottwistpod. And email us at number1plottwist@gmail.com. That's number1plottwist@gmail.com. Music credits to Matthew Modena, and resources are in the description.